Good morning.
Good morning.
We have so many of you visiting with us this morning, and you honor us. Thank you for coming and making this a great day. I'm sure someone has invited you, and with that invitation, they considered you someone they cared about enough to extend an invitation. And so you honor them, and you honor all of us by coming and worshiping our God with us today. We're looking forward to the time together afterwards. We had a picnic planned, but the weather didn't quite cooperate. So if you have not got the message yet, we're going to meet across the street in a little while after services and have lunch together. We'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, everything we had planned. We'll have those events over there. We'll have some, there are even some games that will be available, and we have a field to utilize. And we will still have the pie contest. We have homemade pies, all right? And we have contests. We have 3 awards for those. And so the weather didn't quite cooperate, but we're going to press on and do that here in just a little while. I get hungry each day about 11 o'clock. And so it's already a little past that. I'm already a little hungry, okay? And I figure, I know 11 o'clock's not really noon. It's a little early to eat lunch, but on a typical weekday, I eat at 11 because I figure I'm a grown man and I'm hungry and it's time to eat, and why not? So I eat. That's when I eat, okay? In a little while, I will feel that hunger. And if you're hungry with me right now, in just a little while, you won't be. But there's something within each person that walks this planet. There's an emptiness that only God can fill. And we cannot fill that with anything else. And man tries, and man has tried, but there's an emptiness, and only God can fill that. And so I want to share with you this morning 4 things that Jesus wants to give you, that Jesus wants to give me, to fill this emptiness that only God can fill. And the first one is love. From a young age, as a young child, we want to be loved, don't we? I remember Elizabeth, when she was young, she's at that toddler age, and you know how children will hold their arms up and they want you to pick them up. And so we would say, I would say to her, do you want to hold me? And so real quickly, she's trained and she holds her hands up and she says, hold you. And she wants me to pick her up. And she wants me to hold her. She wants to be loved. And we want that from a young age. And we grow up. And as we grow up, maybe about age 12, give or take, we start to realize these parents that we receive love from, they're not all they're cracked up to be. You know, they're not all what I thought they were, right? As we grow up, we know more and learn more, and we get to that age where we think, you know, these people don't know anything. In fact, my parents, these people are starting to drive me nuts. And so we get a little older, we get into that dating age. We get into the age where we think, you know, if I just had that special someone, that certain someone to make me happy. And so we look and the alert is on and we're watching and we're watching, and we find that person and we think, this is the one. This one would make me happy. And so we start dating and we're thinking, this is great. This person makes me happy. And then maybe we get engaged and we think, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. And we get married, and we may even exchange it in our vows and declare to our friends and family and to God Himself that I love this person and they make me happy. And we've found love. And then the honeymoon stage. That's the greatest, right? The honeymoon stage, maybe a year or two. This is great. This person makes me happy. And then the honeymoon stage wears off, and this person drives me nuts, right? Stephanie and I had an argument one time. In your refrigerator, you know, there's drawers at the bottom for your fruits and vegetables. I put my pop there. You know, that's where I put my pop, in the bottom. And then there's another drawer. It's a little higher up. Do you know that's a meat drawer? Anybody know that? I didn't know that, okay? And Stephanie and I had an argument because a few years back, I ate sandwiches all the time. I ate a lot of sandwiches, and I'd have my sandwich meat and my cheese and my mayonnaise right by it, and they'd just be on the top shelf. I mean, I'm in and out of the refrigerator all the time getting my sandwich, making myself a sandwich. And she tells me, and is frustrated, because I'm not putting the meat where the meat goes. Do you know the meat goes somewhere? It's supposed to go in the meat drawer. There's a drawer, and that's for meat. We had a great argument about that, okay? Don't y'all agree with her, okay? I know y'all are amening her over there. You're in your marriage, you love your spouse, but you get to that point where, you know what, this isn't perfect love. This isn't perfect love. And then you get a little older, and maybe you have a child. You have that baby. And mothers, you remember holding that baby. The doctor puts that baby in your arms for the first time. It melts your heart. This is a perfect creature. This is perfect love. And then that baby has a bowel movement. You know those, what goes in affects what comes out, right? Formula diapers are different, okay? Right? You remember, some of y'all remember that? And if it doesn't happen then, it happens as they get older, terrible twos, okay? The love is not perfect. We cannot find perfect love. All sources of love will let you down. No other source can fully understand us, can fully love us, except God. God, Scripture says, has perfect love. And that's where we find that. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And then Psalm 103, we're going to look at this psalm today, a number of times. Psalm 103, I love this psalm. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him." You have the heavens where the birds fly, then you have the heavens where space is, where stars are, the universe. How far is that? How far is the universe above the earth? That's how great God's love is. There are times that I pray because I struggle. And I find great comfort in knowing I'm praying to a Savior and I'm praying to a God who can fully understand me. Fully understand what I'm going through or what I'm struggling with. A God that can fully love me. And that's where we find that emptiness filled. Jesus also wants to give us forgiveness. No one can fully erase your sins except God, and no one could pay the price for sins except Jesus. And so in this Psalm 103, another one of my favorite psalms, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." I love that. How far as the east is from the west? I know the earth is round, but step out of that for a minute. Go this direction. And you just keep going. And as far as that direction is from that direction, that's how far our sins are removed from us. Hebrews 8:12. Jesus says, Scripture says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You ever had someone forgive something you did, but later remind you of it? Later bring it up again? Later even use it against you? God says, "I won't do that. When I forgive it, it's forgiven. It's gone. Never to be brought up again." And we can't find that anywhere else. If you've been baptized and you've had your sins washed away, going down a sinner and coming up a saint, you know what that's like. Just this past week, Lance and Melanie Bateman were baptized into Christ. And afterwards, I was sitting right over here with their two kids, and Lance and Melanie come down the stairs, and Melanie just has this huge grin on her face. And she says, "I feel so good." There's nothing that can do that for us in the world. There's nothing that can forgive our sins in the world. There's nothing like knowing God says, "I forgive you." Nothing. And we find that filled in God. We find grace. Life is not fair. You ever heard that? Anyone ever heard that? You remember When you first heard that, usually we hear that as children, young, especially if we have siblings, maybe we hear it from our parents. Life isn't fair. Deal with it, right? Life isn't fair. Get over it. I remember teacher after teacher after teacher. I keep thinking, you know, maybe I'll get a teacher next year that believes in fairness. Oh, no. Life isn't fair. Suck it up. I don't like that. We all have pet peeves. I have a pet peeve of people littering. In particular, I don't, for whatever reason, what really gets me is flicking a cigarette out the window of a car in front of me. Okay? I'm not prejudiced against smokers. It's just it's the littering. Okay? And especially, of course, at night you can see it. I mean, you can see the little flame and bouncing down the road. That just goes all over me. I think that's not right. Don't do that. How awful. You're littering. Come on, have some sense. I have another pet peeve, and that is people speeding in school zones. Taking my kids to school and getting them every day. Once in a while, I see somebody blazing through a school zone. Saw a young guy just this past week just flaming through it. And every time I see that, I'm thinking, man, I wish there was a cop right there to stop them, right? And give them what they deserve. And then sometimes I stop and think, because once in a while I'll forget where I am, forget what I'm doing, and I'm blazing through a school zone. Life isn't fair. What happens when we are doing what we shouldn't, and we receive what we deserve? What happens when the world doesn't extend grace to us? What happens when we can't find mercy and we can only find judgment and condemnation in this world? Is there someone, is there anyone who would love me for me knowing the worst about me? Knowing all my faults and shortcomings, is there someone who would still care about me even though I don't deserve it? And the answer is yes, and that person is God. And it's called grace. God is the one who can give us grace. Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank goodness. Right? Thank goodness. If people ever wonder why, as Christians, we would gather on a Sunday morning like this and praise God, that's why. Because we have a God who doesn't treat us according to our sins and what we deserve. If people ever wonder why Christians would get together on a Sunday evening in a small group for fellowship, that's why. Because we have a God who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. If people ever wonder, why would Christians get together on a Monday night and reach out to those who are hurting, this is why. Because our God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He extends grace to us. And the emptiness that we have can only be filled by God's grace. Nowhere else can we find that. Jesus wants to give you God. It's kind of interesting to think that way. You know, Jesus can, it makes sense that he can deliver some of these other things, but the reality is he also gives us God. He's our link to God. We can't be right with God without Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our avenue to God. We can't get there any other way. And that's one of the reasons why we love Jesus so much. He died for us. And in that death, we can find our bridge to where God is. Because of him, we can go to the Father. Because of Jesus, when you pray to the Almighty, God, Jehovah, creator of all. Isn't that humbling? We pray to God. And only God can fill that part of our life. What does it mean to walk in favor and harmony with God. What does it mean to live your life knowing that God and I are good? I'm not perfect, but God loves me. God's pleased with me. God and I are in relationship. We're good. We're in harmony. What does that mean? It's an emptiness that we can't fill in the world, and people try to fill it. And they don't realize that they don't realize they cannot fill that in other ways. We have the example of Solomon in Scripture. Remember Solomon? Talk about someone who had all fame. He had power. He had wisdom. He had money galore. He had women. He had all the things that people seek after. And Solomon still wasn't filled. Look at John chapter 4. What happens when we find Jesus? What happens when we find God? When we're filled with that emptiness is filled. What happens? Remember the woman at the well. She comes to the well. She comes to get water. She comes at noontime. And she comes by herself. Probably because of being an outcast. She's been married 5 times. Now she's living with a man. And so she's there alone, and Jesus is there, and Jesus asks her for a drink, and she says, "Whoa, what are you talking about? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We're not even supposed to be talking. Our people hate each other," is the idea. And they start talking, and Jesus starts trying to share with her spiritual drink, and then she comes to realize, "I think this is the Messiah. Jesus says he is." She thinks, "I think I have found the Savior." And she goes back to her village with hope. She goes back to her village with joy. She has found Jesus. But do you know what she left? Scripture says she left her water jar. Did you ever notice that? Forget the water. I don't care about the water anymore. I found Jesus. When we find God, when we find love, when we find forgiveness, when we find grace, when we find God, forget everything else. It doesn't matter anymore. Maybe the most iconic, famous character of the 20th century, maybe Elvis Presley. There was a day he was walking along with his entourage down the street, that group of people who traveled with him, and he walked over to a trash can. He pulled out a piece of paper that had writing on it, he had written on it, and he crumples it up and he throws it in the trash can. And they walk along, and one of the men that was in that group saw him do that and goes over afterwards without him knowing and gets that piece of paper, pulls it out. It was written on a Hilton Hotel paper. And these were the words that were on that paper. "I feel so alone sometimes. The night is too quiet for me. I would love to be able to sleep. I'm glad everyone is gone. I will probably not rest tonight. I have no need for all of this. Help me, Lord." Fact is, Elvis would read books all the time trying to find the meaning of life. And among those books was the Bible. Elvis was searching. He had everything, but he had nothing worth living for. He was still empty. And you may be here this morning. You may have a great home to live in. You may have a great job to go to. You may have a nice car to drive. You may have a lot of things. But if we don't have God, we're still empty. And we're going to sing a song in a moment. Now, we offer this as an opportunity. If you are dead in your sins and you know it and you want to have those washed away this morning, let us help you do that. Let us help you fill your life with God if you need that. If there's something else you need, maybe we could pray for you. We'd love to just take a moment and do that with you. If you have a need like that, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.
You're my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my